Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player, or Magic Stone. Today we're recommending Sword of Shannara by Terry Brooks. It's a book about elves, I think. So if you're enjoying the show, give the free trial a chance. It'll help us pay for the hosting. But I'm not sure what that is. I'm just a wizard. Enjoy the episode. Next scroll. Reese's, where are you?
In the land of fantasy, on the fields of fiction, there rode two knights across the plains. Two thieves of the night, two warriors of honor, in the shadow of the mountain cry their name.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Fantasy Fiction. My name is Dominic.
My name is Josh.
And I'm Terry Brooks, author of Sword of Shannara by Terry Brooks.
He's here! He's here! Is it about elves?
It's a book about elves.
Reese's, where are you?
Just kidding.
We should probably change that.
No, we're just going to leave it, I think, forever.
Yes, with us today is our friend Tim Jennings.
Hello.
Tim is a writer, and also we work together at The Soup. Tim's actually the guy who hired me over there.
I did it.
He said, as long as I can be on that podcast, you got the job.
You know what the crazy thing is Dom and I spend, I would say, I'm going to put it at like 45% of our day actually talking about the fantasy fiction show.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't spend that much time talking about this show, and I am on it every week.
Find someone that you work with, make them a big fan of the show, and see what happens.
Well, Tim has similar interests because he does a really awesome improv show called Lusty Horde.
Yeah, we do a show every month at the West Side Theater. If you guys are LA residents out there, you can see us once a month at the end of the month, and it is a fully improvised sci-fi fantasy improv show.
I implore you to check out the Facebook at the very least, even if you don't live in LA, because there are some promotional photos. Explain the show. Explain what the show is. The promotional photos are awesome, but you'll know why after Tim explains.
So there's four of us in the group, and we take a suggestion of basically anything from the audience. Sometimes people give us really great fantasy suggestions. Other times they'll say shit like floss, and we'll have to do a show about floss. But like, we cover all kinds of basically any genre, the genres of fantasy, horror, sci-fi. Like, you come one week and see us, it could be like Doctor Who in the Old West. It would never really be Doctor Who, but because we don't do any stuff like that. But
let's get back to that floss.
You know, we had a great suggestion the other night. We're just going to go with it. It was floss. Let's do it.
Here's another floss show for you.
The promotional photos are the four of them. One is like an elf. One's a barbarian. One of them's like a sci-fi kind of hero. And then you're a vampire hunter.
Yeah.
It's really fucking awesome. But you can check them out at just it's just the Facebook page. It's just The Lusty Horde, right?
You could also go to our website.
Oh, what is the website?
LustyHorde.com.
Are you sure that's not a Brazzers affiliate? Or Brazzers, rather?
Click and see.
I think, Dom, you just unintentionally made a medieval porn company, Brazzers.
Brazzers.
don't people... I think people who braise meat already have Brazzers.
Oh, I bet they're mad at Brazzers for stealing their name, kind of.
What if we put a 6-9 at the end?
Oh, that'll make it better.
That'll make it better.
Then they won't be confused.
But Josh,
yeah.
And Tim, but I'm going to go Josh first,
all right.
Just because this is the usual way of
things. Because I'm more boring.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do this week?
I don't know. What did I do this week? I watched a lot of X-Files.
Oh.
I went crazy on the X-Files because of the other show that we do called something TV show station.
Syndication Station.
Yeah.
Fridays when we get the chance to do it.
So yeah, I did that, and I was in the city yesterday. I was in Philly yesterday, hanging out with idiot Paul Ritchie.
Oh God!
I hated every moment of it. So that's about it. That's all I did.
Did you watch any good episodes of X-Files?
I watched so many good episodes. I watched the vampire one, which we need to do for the show.
Ooh, yeah.
I was going to ask you if you were watching to pick a new episode to do for Syndication Station.
I kind of just fell into the hole. I kind of just, you know, the hooks got in me again. But then when I, like, would see a good one, I was like, oh, yeah, I got to remember to, we need to do that one.
The other day I suggested a Syndication Station episode.
What was it?
Sliders.
Dude, I fucking love Sliders.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to do that.
Someone else suggested we should do Kolchak, the Night Stalker.
Oh, yeah.
A really neat show.
It is.
But it's neat for the time. It doesn't hold up that well.
Not really. I've tried watching it a few times.
But Tim, what did you do this week? And in addition, I wanted to bring this up. Before you worked at The Soup, and before you did a bunch of other stuff, you were at G4.
Yes, I worked at the now ghost ship G4. It's still on the air broadcasting shit from 2 years ago.
Is it the ghost ship from the Goonies? Like the end of the Goonies?
Yeah,
it just floats out.
G4 just busted through the cave and it's floating, except there's no treasure on that boat.
Well, they still play it on the monitors when we take the elevators. There's like a TV right outside.
Yeah.
And what were they playing footage for?
Oh, it was an exclusive first look at Borderlands 2.
What? Oh, my God.
That game came out forever ago.
Yeah, it's like 3 years
old. And
that's
still airing on TV, guys. You can go and turn on your TV and watch those old things. Yeah. But you were personality on there. You were Gamertag.
I was Gamertag.
Right?
If anybody out there used to watch X-Play, that was me, Gamertag.
That's crazy.
And now we work in those old desks.
Same area of the world.
Mm-hmm. But what did you do this week, man?
You know what? I started watching old episodes of the first generation Transformers cartoon. I went for like the deep, like seasons 3 and 4, where mm-hmm. shit got real weird. Like, right before the movie came out and right after the movie came out, that show was bizarre.
Was that when they were, like, switching kids around, like, every 3 seconds? Like, it was never the same, like, humans, right?
Oh, when they switched humans. I don't know. I recall them switch. I only recall one human switch of the humans.
Mm-hmm. They don't mention anything about it, though. They're just like, these are the new kids.
Here's your new friend.
Yeah. Guess who's a robot's friend now?
And Grimlock is like, where's the old kid? And everyone answers him with silence.
And then Grimlock was written out of the show. Tell you what I did this week.
Yeah.
Played a lot of Hearthstone, guys.
Oh, you told me I need to. I never remember to put that on my iPad to try it out.
You know what? It's like crack.
Yeah,
it's like hard drugs. I love it. In the past week, I've probably spent $20 on it.
Oh my
god, money thing.
Well, it's free to play, but if you want some packs,
oh damn, they got you.
You can earn packs, but yeah. Regardless, I've been so hooked on the Blizzard kick, guys. I waited until 7 p.m. yesterday, Pacific Standard Time, to try and buy BlizzCon tickets.
Whoa.
You're out of your mind.
I was one of the first people, but clearly not, because I was just hitting refresh on the page until they became available. And they became available, like, I got it in the second where the one ticket purchase became available, but the second one didn't. There was like a $700 one for a benefit dinner, which I clearly wasn't going to buy.
But you love benefit dinners.
I know, but it was $700.
And you hate having $700. It was a perfect match.
That's so true. So I went ahead, I selected how many tickets I wanted, and I went next, and it was like, you're in a waiting room. We're going to see if you can actually get tickets. Then, like, 2 minutes later of waiting, it was like, we're sorry. Everyone bought all the tickets.
Oh, bogus.
Oh, man.
So I almost went to BlizzCon this year. Almost.
Sorry, dude.
You would have just had to spend more money, though, at the BlizzCon.
Yeah, dude, but it's motherfucking BlizzCon. They would have had so many dope in-game items.
Yeah, they give you free shit. That's true.
Yeah, they do. When you see people post about it online, that's the coolest part.
Well, I was gonna buy two tickets and take you, Josh, if you were going to.
Oh, my God, damn.
Because I don't know what I would do at BlizzCon.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of tournaments and then like a cosplay competition and stuff like that. So I would want you there so we could create content and be like, oh, we're at BlizzCon. Look at this thing. Look at that thing.
What could we cosplay as?
Oh, probably.
I think you guys should both go as Throm and then get in an argument about it.
People be like, who the fuck are you supposed to be?
I'm fucking Throm, dude. And they're like, oh, yeah, I know who that is.
What's written on that dude's chest? What does that mean?
Unfuckable.
What a douchebag. But that, guys, let's get into some tales of magic cloaks and conjurers. I like how your solo sometimes is the same, but sometimes it's different.
Hey, every great guitar player plays the same shit over and over again.
You ever kick out a bass riff?
Boom, 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 boom. There, I just did.
Damn.
Show over. See you next week.
Damn.
Guys, are you ready for my story?
Yeah, yes.
I didn't title it, so I'm just going to call it Cash Money Records.
All right, Josh. You're starting pretty high here. You can keep up with
this. Yeah, this better pay off.
It's an original name I just came up with. Nobody owns that. All right. Be sure to stop by our 69 locations all around Theranos. We got blue cloaks, red cloaks, furry cloaks, dead cloaks, cloaks for fatties, cloaks for less fatties, even cloaks for Skeleman, who want to show that they still, even after death, are still coming for that booty. Remember, that's Burlington Cloak Factory located off the highway of, located off the highway of death right next to the Pain Mines and just three exits from Grawl. Come in today, and your first purchase will probably not be haunted?
Probably. Wait, was this story sponsored?
I just had to read that and get that out of the way.
Whoa, were you getting paid?
This guy's got fucking Land Rover money coming in.
You know what? You can't put a cloak on a skeleton and have it fit well. No way.
But they look like a pimp, though.
That's true, though.
They all look like pimps.
Mm-hmm.
An all sea ball floated gently in the air as Morty Goldbane, owner and proprietor of Burlington Cloak Factory, beamed his commercial into every all sea ball in Theranos. Remember, that's Burlington Cloak Factory, open 69 hours a day, Moon's Day through Steve Day.
Oh, Steve Day!
They finally gave Steve a day. All right.
He got a day. That's Burlington Cloak Factory. Deals so good, they'll make your mama say, boys, tell your daddy we're going out, because I hope they got a cloak of dicks, because mama's going to literally DP herself with these deals.
Oh, no.
Cut.
Mom, please don't go.
Don't go.
We're fine with our old coats.
Great job, Morty, said the goblin director. You nailed it yet again. They don't call you the king of cloaks for nothing, and that's king with a C for some weird reason. Thank you, boys, for shooting my all-sea ball commercial. Please take these complimentary cloaks home to your wives and or husbands. I don't know. I don't assume to know your sexual preference. Morty said as he handed out cloaks one by one. Dagvar the Terrible, here's a, quote, back massage cloak for your mother. Tell her I said hi, Morty said as he shook Dagvar's hand. As he pulled Dagvar in closer to whisper in his ear, because I fucked her.
This guy's a real piece of work.
And Thorn Lips, take this beautifying cloak of deceptive attractiveness on the account of your terrible thorn lips. One day we'll find a cure, my friend. Until then, live strong. Finally, Gravel Teeth, you get this cloak of shame because I'm pretty sure you pissed in my ficus. They all looked over to the ficus to see glowing green goblin piss just flooding the poor, helpless, piss-covered roots.
Oh,
yeah. The cloak of shame is just a metaphor for the feelings you should be surrounding yourself with right now. That ficus didn't do anything to you. Again, there is no actual cloak of shame. Just please think before you act. All right. All right, boys. See you later. These cloaks aren't going to sell themselves unless it's the sell itself cloak, and in which case we're all sold out of those. I thought that joke was going to go over a lot better.
I enjoyed it. It's just I'm laughing so much at the other jokes.
I'm still stuck on Goblin Piss.
I'm still stuck on Cash Money Records. The goblin crew left, leaving Morty a rare moment of peace alone in his magical shop of enchanted cloaks. "Man, I love my job," he said contentedly. He picked a piece of Murkmunk fur off of a regal-looking purple cloak as he began to sing a song. "I love cloaks, fucking all kinds of dope-ass cloaks. Call me Cloak Daddy, baby, cause daddy's got some cloaks. Girl, you wanna fuck a rich dude?"
Just in this little song?
To himself.
To a piece of Murkmunk fur.
Yeah. Oh, that sounded adorable. Just then, the front door chime rang, and in walked Daranos' most famous orc conjurer of dope beats, Ludacritz.
Oh.
"I'm looking for a magical cloak to cover my sexy orc body with as I walk off stage after my rap concerto tonight," Ludacritz said. "You're Ludacritz. My kids love your music. You're the famous rappist, right?" "Well, well, my good man, you've come to the right place. We have many fine cloaks. Let me show you where the magic happens," Morty said confidently as trap music started playing and a short montage of shots a la MTV Cribs started. The two walked into a magical fitting room that also served as a sort of magical holodeck to try out the magical properties of the merchandise. All around them, the room changed into a forest area with magic trees and shit. Also, all around them stood magically summoned aspects of bandits ready to attack. "Okay, this first cloak is your standard Canadian tuxedo cloak. Its stats are +4 to comfort and strength, but it has -400 intellect and charisma." Ludacritz draped the cloak on his hot-as-fuck muscly arms. As he did, the bandits attacked without mercy. They punched him in the face over and over again as he stood there helpless. The cloak had sapped all of his swag right out of him.
Oh.
He just took the beating like a man until the aspects vanished. "Dude, that cloak was fucking not dope, my man. Although it did give me this cool black eye, and chicks live black eyes."
Why did they even sell that cloak?
It's a shitty cloak.
Why did the holodeck... By the way, you used a sci-fi thing to describe a fantasy thing.
I did. The world is collapsing in on itself.
Why did bandits just attack this guy?
It's to test out how the magic works.
Oh.
You gotta try it out. It's like when they put a shoe on you in the shoe store... But in this case, like, you'd have to kick somebody with the shoe.
Yeah, you want to test it out.
Oh, gotcha.
"What else you got, little man?" Morty grabbed another cloak off the rack and draped it over Ludacris's hella sexy, bombastic man shoulders. "Well, this one's the Devourer," Morty said in a sinister tone. As Luda put the cloak on, the bandit's aspects again started punching him in the face like a billion times. They punched and punched. Luda took that shit like a fucking man. Suddenly, out of nowhere, the cloak began to rumble and make a very disturbing sound. The aspects stopped punching for a second and looked around. As they did, the cloak let forth an immense explosion, but instead of magical fire and death, the cloak only exploded with popcorn. Just regular old popcorn.
Come on!
Oh, God.
Another beating! All for nothing!
Poor popcorn.
Ludacritz and Morty stood there, along with the aspects, as the entire forest fitting room filled with free-flowing popcorn. 20 minutes went by, and the popcorn was still busting forth from the cloak. Everybody was neck deep in popcorn until the cloak finally started to slow its popcorn flow like a whizzing dick the morning after getting drunk.
I know what it's like.
That's what it is. That's it.
I can relate.
Ludacritz stood there, bloodied and annoyed. "Man, this is an infinite popcorn cloak!" Okay, Morty said apologetically. "I have one more cloak thing that you might like." Morty reached over and grabbed a green cloak covered in cool weed leaves.
This is the one.
"We call this the hotbox cloak," Morty said. As he placed the cloak in Luda's goddamn jizzy-as-fuck muscles, a magical barrier of green haze appeared in a dome around them. After only a few seconds, a danky-ass haze filled the dome. The cloak was getting everyone high as fuck. The bandits again tried to attack, but this time, Ludacris was deep in the cut. The cloak had empowered his mind and body. As the first bandit went to throw a punch, time slowed down like in The Matrix, but slower? Ludacris dodged the first punch and then let forth some sick rhymes. Ma, period, fresh, comma, yo wife is my baby mama, goddamn motherfucker, she's a good dick sucker. What?
So he just rapped and beat this guy?
Yeah, dude.
I like it. I like this Ludacris.
I think what you just described was actually a scene from that Def Jam Fight for New York.
Oh, man. As he finished, the bandits were totally schooled. One exploded into fire right then and there. As he did, the others dropped down and got their eagle on. One bandit went instantly blind from the sheer magnitude of the lyrics that he considered teaching Braille to blind little kids. But as soon as he did, Ludacris conjured a bone car, which ran over the bandit, killing him instantly. No charges would be filed. The bandits who had heard the lyrics that day went on to form Ludacris' posse. They all donned chains with Luda's family crest on it, a cool dog smoking a giant spliff with the words CSI Criminal Intent written on it, because that's just a really good show.
Nice. So how did he didn't have a posse beforehand?
No. He didn't come rolling deep this time.
I guess he had to let the posse find him.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta let the posse find you. Morty, you did it again, Luda exclaimed. My pleasure, Mr. Kritz. Remember, we're having a sale next month if you're in town. Later that night, Ludacris would kill it at the rap concerto. Not even his black eyes deterred the comely centaurs from wanting to suck his dick. As the show ended, one of the bandit aspects came out and draped a hotbox cloak over his shoulders. Green haze filled the amphitheater and everyone got crazy lit. Maybe next time a pussy getting cloak? Nah, my man don't need that shit. Finn.
Nice job, Josh. Thank you. Introducing the first rap warrior.
Yes.
To Daranos, Ludacris.
Ludacris.
Was he a rap warrior? He got his ass kicked a lot.
Yeah, but then he whooped some ass in rap.
That's true, he did.
It's the hero's trial.
By the way, those ass whoopings Ludacris got were real.
They were real.
Guys.
They were real, like, street ass beatings. They weren't even like fantasy.
Wait a minute, hold on. Those guys were real because they were at his concert. Yeah, wait, these weren't aspects. Hold on.
They were just dudes that Morty hired to beat the fuck out of people.
That were chilling. And then they got high as fuck together and became friends.
It's a pretty sweet job.
Pretty sweet job indeed.
Okay, you guys. I tried real hard on this story.
Mm-hmm.
I see it's printed on paper.
It's printed on paper using ink. This story is called Keepers of the Spirit Stones.
Oh.
AKA fuck the police.
Yep.
Far beyond Daranos and Orkspire and high above that spot where Dean hid all his weird porn that one time he thought he was dying, lies the Kingdom of Stones Realm. Once a peaceful land ruled by the benevolent Keepers of the Five Spirit Stones, Ryabel the Wise, Dianitrox the Unmovable, Fieris the Impenetrable, Soraborn the All-Powerful, and of course, Keith, a real solid dude. They're all dead now.
No, but Keith.
Yes, they are.
Keith,
sorry.
Did Keith stay solid till the end?
He did. Hold on a second. Yeah. He did. Okay. He stayed solid. Okay. They're all dead now. Murdered for their spirit stones by Moriban, a total bone drone sorcerer who claims his lame-ass cape called the Cloak of Illusions allows him to conjure the dark creatures that make up his army. Others claim he's just a regular shitty rich dude who paid them. Either way, he's got an army, so fuck everybody. One by one, the keepers fell to Moriband's army, the last to go being Keith, who died like he lived, blazing on the back of a polar bear mount with a spirit stone in one hand and a big old hand of get fucked in the other.
Every day of his life was this? Like, that's how he lived every day?
He was a keeper of a spirit stone.
Yeah, I guess that comes with the territory.
It's, you guys don't know it, but that's canon in Stone's Realm.
No, it's canon then.
Yeah, that's canon.
Wait, it's, so you're, this is the first time someone's made their own land.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Aubrey made his own land.
But this is Stone's Realm.
Stone's Realm.
All right, I like it.
By the way, Get Fucked was the name of Keith's giant-ass enchanted broadsword, which... By the way, part two could also sing, and by the way, part three was totally singing You Got Another Thing Coming when Keith finally met his end via 6,000 poison-tipped arrows and one regular one.
Who didn't, like, get the memo that day that they needed to poison-tape their arrows?
It was Clarence.
Oh, God.
The guy was just like, ah, it'll get him.
He's gonna use this one. Oh. While life in Stone's Realm used to be tolerable in a shitty medieval kind of way, after the deaths of the keepers, it became a total cockfest, and not in a good way. P.S. To find out about good cockfests in your area, visit your local library or ask Josh.
It's totally true. I know where they all are.
Canon. It's canon. Hand stamp canon.
Yeah.
Before those dark times, Stone Realmians would rise each sun cycle at the crack of dawn, then go to work as pig wranglers, or gourd farmers, or maybe even the town creep if they were lucky. You put in a good, honest day's work, then headed to the tavern to get toe up till you throw up on goat wine and go balls deep in something. Anything.
Goat wine.
People still talk about the time Sandrin went beady on an old sack of flour he found at the mill. Then he and the sack fell in love, but no one ever judged them. Sure, the keepers of the stone sent him in that gross sack to live on a rowboat on Shame Lake, but they were never openly criticized in the press, and that's the part that matters.
Shame Lake. A lot of shaming going on in these cloaks.
Those innocent days, however, are gone. Now most people have only one job, avoiding getting murdered by Moriband's enforcement squad, a roving gang of ogres, trolls, and humans with baseball caps cocked to the side who've been known to burn people and then rape crops, then go and have a nice meal, and come back to restart any fires that went out while they were gone. Basically, you're getting double burned and your corn is getting bucktified.
People love fucking crops, dude. They love fucking foodstuffs.
Stone's Realm is a goddamn cockfest.
There's not a lot of food.
Bad way.
In a bad way.
In a bad way. They're fucking our corn.
Aw, oh, man, this sandwich is all jizzy.
Hope in Stone's Realm was at an all-time low and everyone was waiting to die.
So real life.
Real life. Everyone except Rindle, the only person left in the land who believed that somehow the keepers of the spirit stones could return to set things right. A cobbler by trade, Rindle was best known for inventing a style of women's boot that laced all the way up to the cooch.
Whoa!
Although hardly anyone bought them, town folks say that some nights, when the moon is just right, you can see Gina, queen of the lap dancers, awkwardly strutting her way across the horizon in those super uncomfortable boots. She hates her life, but she has kids to feed.
Oh my god. Oh shit.
One day, after running for his fucking life to work, Rindle received a surprise order. One pair of cooch boots in cherry red to be delivered to the old Temple of the Stones. Temple of the Stones, said Rindle. Why, no one's been there in years. Also, it's haunted. But haunted or not, a gold pern is a gold pern, and Rindle needed a sale.
Gotta get them perns.
Lately,
what exactly is a pern?
Yeah, what's a pern?
It's a coin.
Okay.
It's the coin of the realm, a pern.
All right.
Not a high denomination either.
Oh.
It's like our nickel.
So that's the exchange rate. That's the exchange rate.
Yeah, but you should know that in Stone's Realm, gold is like our wood.
Man, oh, Stone's Realm is weird and different.
I kind of hate it.
Lately, Rindle's only customer had been a troll who only came in to hand park his girt worm in the employee bathroom. Sometimes twice a day. Rindle wrapped up the boots and headed for the Temple of the Stones. He passed the troll on his way out. Gross, muttered Rindle under his breath. I'm just going into poop, lied the lion-ass jerk-off troll. The ruins of the once great Temple of the Stones were spooky as fuck. Everything was crumbly, and there was water dripping from weird places. Plus, people spray-painted scary shit on the walls, like a picture of Freddy Krueger with the words, Here Comes Freddy.
That is scary.
That's really scary.
Right? Sure, it doesn't sound scary, but now imagine running into that while you're alone somewhere spooky. It's real scary.
I thought it was scary before.
Now it's double scary.
Making it past the dripping water and scary graffiti, Rindle found himself in the heart of the temple, the Chamber of the Stones. Once the hub of power in Stone's realm, it was now a crumbling husk. Also, someone painted a really badly drawn dick and balls on the wall with the tag name Fart under it. So it was made especially sad.
I thought we were done with the scary imagery.
Oh, no, man. Sorry. Oh, by the way, Fart is with a PH. Hello? Said Rindle timidly. I'm here with your boots. There was a shuffling noise from behind a column. Shit! Thought Rindle, that fucking sounds like Freddy. The graffiti was right. From behind a column stepped a hunched over old man. Come here, my boy. I ordered those boots, and much more.
What could that mean?
Oh, God.
sorry, mister. I don't do that stuff. I mean, you can watch me J.O. if you want to, but that's all. No, young man. My name is Granlo the Old, said Rindle. You were an attendant to the Stonekeepers. Am an attendant, said Granlo. Oh, you no. See, the Keepers are never really gone if just one person has faith in their return, is pure of heart, and has a clean record with no, like, sexual predator stuff on it. That someone is you, Rindle. Granlo pulled a large chest out from a stash hidden in the temple's altar. He dropped it with a thud at Rindle's feet. If you're going to reunite the spirit stones, you're going to need some help. Rindle bent down and opened the latches on the chest. He could feel power emanating from inside. Suddenly, the lid of the chest flew off its hinges with an accompanying guitar sting that knocked Rindle backwards like that kid's guitar riff does to his stupid dad in the video for We're Not Gonna Take It.
As soon as you said that, I knew. I knew where you're going.
Bam! Whoa! Rindle quickly got to his feet and saw what was in the chest. Now belting out Dio's Rainbow in the Dark Get Fucked, the enchanted broadsword of Keith, the really solid dude.
This sword belonged to Keith. He was a solid dude who got the shit murdered out of him. At the moment of his death, the sword merged with Keith's spirit stone, making it more powerful than ever. Take it, said Granlo. Take it and use it to return the spirit stones to this temple.
Rindle reached down with trepidation and took the weapon. Immediately, its power surged through him. Lightning struck all the fuck over the temple, engulfing Rindle and transforming him. Gone was the optimistic cobbler, and in his place was a buff as fuck, sexy as fuck, yoked as shit monster barbarian. Swordborn the Savage.
Damn!
That's a fucking awesome name.
At Swordborn's side now stood Ice Bitch, Keith the really solid dude's polar bear mount.
Damn!
Uh-huh. Climbing onto Ice Bitch's back, Swordborn yelled something in polar bear, and the two jumped right through the temple ceiling. Granlo looked down at the cooch boots Rindle had brought from the store. Alone at last.
Yeah.
Swordborn and Ice Bitch landed right the fuck in the middle of Moriban's throne room, a giant domed rotunda decorated with statues of the sorcerer in various masculine poses, flexing, destroying the original Keepers of the Stones, and enjoying mutual sexual pleasure with an average-looking girl. Swordborn kind of respected Moriban for that last one. It was refreshing to see another guy with an appreciation for realistic sexuality.
Give me the stones,
commanded Swordborn. Go F yourself, snarled back the sorcerer. No, Restound. No, responded Swordborn. With that, Ice Bitch leapt forward and grabbed Moriband's throat with her mouth. She slowly crushed his windpipe over the course of the next 45 minutes.
Damn. Oh my god.
Damn!
45 minutes.
This is like a real mass murder.
Holy shit.
It kind of is a murder. Swordborn sat and meditated during that part because it was really awful to watch. When it was over, Swordborn approached Moriban. One more thing, said the barbarian. Fuck your cape. Swordborn spit on Moriban and like a gallon of saliva hit the dead sorcerer's face. Swordborn gathered the remaining four spirit stones from Moriban's altar and tossed them into his satchel. Ice Bitch plodded to Swordborn's side. The barbarian said something to her in Polar Bear, and as Get Fucked started singing You Could Be Mine by GNR, he laughed.
Damn.
Freeze frame, credits roll. The end.
Damn.
Dude. Fucking awesome, dude. That was fucking awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Also,
Ice Bitch?
Dude.
So good. What were you going to say, Josh?
I was going to say Get Fucked is the coolest sword name yet on the show.
I want to make sure you, to be specific here, Josh, it's actually written as Get Fucked.
Get Fucked. Okay, get. That's even better. It's even better.
It's fantasy. You see, it's a little different. All right, guys. Y'all ready for this story of magic cloaks and conjurers?
Yes. Fuck yes.
All right, guys. This one's called Portal Boys.
Oh, my God.
Is it boys with a Z?
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Confirmed.
It was a cold and dark wintry evening in Orkspire. The moons were hidden behind an overcast of dark menacing clouds ready to super piss the rain all over. And yeah, the clouds, homeboy, Windleman Blowin', sir, a.k.a. the wind, was blowing off the chain wild. Shit was so gusty, if you were trying to put on a bed sheet outside for some reason, you got blown away to the moon, where there are exactly zero good times to be had. Only cold, breathless times. No thanks. But also, one of the moons is like super cool purple-pink color, so that's dope. TLDR, it was blustery.
I like how we get some moon background. We get a little lore building.
Some moon building. All about the land. Every wizard, battle mage, necromancer, cartwheel wizard, breakfastomancer, big rig bone truck driving wizard.
Oh damn, bone truck.
Shit. Alcoholic wizard.
Oh, that one's sad.
And even Mr. Wizard were snug tiddly ugging the beds.
Holy shit, Mr. Wizard ended up in Orcs Fire.
And yeah, them blankets got stars and moons on them.
Yeah.
It was just one of those nights where you say to yourself, I could go out and commit any crime and get away with that shit. But ass naked. Cause fuck it. Hang out with your wang out when you're stealing some fangs out of a Dracula.
Get that Dracula fang.
It's magic. However, there was one wizard who braced the elements alone in a thick wool wizard robe that looked pretty comfy at the gamble of being itchy. One wizard bold enough. One wizard dope enough. One wizard werewolf enough. Ow! Held the cloaked weaver of spells as he sprinted through the woods. He was so werewolf and fast that all you saw were his red werewolf eyes, but not red with bloodlust. Red from smoking that dub dank 24/7 369 XXX rated street legal. Oh wait, I wrote illegal. Street illegal. Cause this motherfucker was frightenor the goddamn werewizard.
Oh my god.
He triple backflipped in the air to dodge a branch. And while he was flipping, he pulled out his bong staff and ripped one off.
Holy shit.
Yeah, motherfucker's got a bong staff now. How high did this wizard get? Let me put it this way. And then I just typed $17. The werewizard slowed his pace as he approached the edge of the forest. Just below the forest sat a small village called Magic Town.
They didn't really try too hard to name that one. They didn't.
No, it makes a lot of sense because right after that, I just put horns in all caps, which are, of course, you know, are at.
Yeah.
Bow, bow, bow.
Klaxons. Bow, 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 bow,
bow, bow. Magic Town was one of the magical ass towns. Why did I write that? Magical ass towns in Orcspire, where wizards from all over were come to trade spells, potions, dating tips, like wait until the second date to kiss her, or when you should introduce her to your skeleton servants, or how to hide your beard rash.
Mm-hmm. Those are good questions.
Yeah, yeah.
It was also home of the famous 2-foot hoagie.
Oh my god.
Oh wait, turkey hoagie. Turkey hoagie.
2 foot?
As long as it's 2 feet, I don't care what's on.
Frightenor the Werewizard watched the snow fall in the homes of Magic Town as dim orange light glowed from the windows and smoke emitted from the chimneys. That's just goddamn beautiful, said Frightenor as he turned back into a regular wizard and made his way down to Magic Town.
Mm-hmm.
He passed a tavern with a sign that said, The Thirsty Bone Mage Inn, where wizards were getting their drink on. Underneath the sign was a poster for a skeleton boxing match happening right now.
Go!
Inside, dudes were wasted cheering on the skeleton pugilists in the ring as they exchanged bone-punching blow after blow.
Oh,
this song could be heard. Bone fighters, you're fucking watching the bone fighters. Bone fighters, skeletons are boxing. Bone fighters, bone fighters.
Moon Fighters! When you go see those fights, you just hope they don't last longer than 5 minutes. That song plays the whole time.
The wizard continued through the town. He arrived at a small hut, the size of a dwarf's home. On the door was written, Home of Gandrixel the Warlock, a.k.a. Gandy, a.k.a. Little Warlock. Please knock, please be the ice cream man. The wizard knocked, but to no answer. The door was unlocked. Frightenor pushed it open. A fire was burning as a warlock sat in a chair watching a few floating conjured skulls who were singing. Doo-wop, doobie-doo-wop, doo-wop-doo-lay. Blue days, black nights, doo-wop-doo-lay. The wizard's danky stank filled the room. Frightenor, shouted the warlock as he got up, dismissed the skulls, and hopped back to the door. There before Frightenor stood a short, pudgy, bald, bearded warlock with a smile across his chubby face, pointy ears, and a demon eye in his forehead that looked around. No one was sure what race Gandrixel was, but he looked to be somewhere between a dwarf, goblin, and elf. But one thing was for sure, he was 100% kissable. I'm working on a new potion. I put all the candies in at once.
Oh, this guy liked this guy.
Gandy gestured to the cauldron, which was glowing with a bright pink glow. Frightenor reached into the cauldron and pulled out a candy bar that we know as a Take 5 fused with a Butterfinger and ate it.
Because
you know that shit tasted awesome.
Fuck
on the dub.
Yeah, that's so good.
Great work, Gandy, said Frightenor. Now, you were vague on the scroll you sent me. Why did you bring me here? I sent my ogre assistant, Old Gort, through a crazy portal. And he's been gone for 3 months. What? replied the wizard. Where is this portal? Over here, said the warlock as he opened a closet door, revealing a pulsating portal that definitely had spooky lightning shooting around inside. And if you look closely, you could see a skeleton with sunglasses on it surfing the wind.
Oh, my God.
Is it like one of those like 3D things, like where you gotta like look at it right?
Well, it depends on your eyes. You either have to look at it right, or you like tilt it back and forth and see it.
Oh, like a hologram.
Yeah.
That portal is a catch-22 because you look at it and you're like, why would you send somebody you like in there? And then you're like, why wouldn't you send somebody?
Well, because of this part. Then the skeleton lowered his shades and looked at you and said, sup, as he surfed away.
Oh, oh shit. Man.
You want to go hang out with that skeleton.
That's why.
Old Gort has the keys to my ice cream vault, said the warlock. We gotta go get those keys / save Old Gort. They knew what had to be done. Frightnor backflipped into the portal as Gandrixil took the emergency slip and slide.
Oh my God. Dude, I love him.
Yeah, he's great.
As they entered the portal, their ears were filled with the sound of 700 guitar solos at once.
Holy shit.
They both covered their ears as they tried to withstand the pure insanity of the portal. They passed the surfing skeleton, who was swallowed by a huge space shark.
Oh, shit.
A shark made of space?
Oh, my God. Dude.
Then a giant laser babe materialized butt-ass naked. You know, like something on the front of a sci-fi book that has nothing to do with the story. One of those laser babes. Suddenly, a little goblin doing the backstroke passed our adventurers and approached the laser babe. Well, excuse me, lady.
Oh, no.
Said Stinkline the Goblin.
Oh, my God.
Can you point me in the direction of the portal that goes to your heart? Also, your future boobies got me all sweaty.
He tries so hard.
The laser babe did not respond. She simply looked down at the goblet as a portal opened up next to him. Out of the portal came a giant pair of demon butt cheeks. The butt cheeks grabbed him and pulled him in.
Oh!
A faint whimper could be heard all throughout Orcspire. After what seemed like hours, the two had found themselves fallen out of the portal and were at this time sitting at the base of a dead tree. Frysnor, said Gandrix. Look! Frightnor lifted his head and scanned the horizon. What sat before them was the likes of nothing they had ever seen before. A world all new to them. My word, it's...
Oh my God.
Help old Gorg get out of this cage, I'm sad.
Oh,
Gort. Yelled a cage ogre just a few feet away. Gort, exclaimed the little warlock as he went to make his way to the cage but was knocked over by a giant boot. Gotta watch out for puke fucker, though. Standing over Gandrixil was a cloaked, nasty-as-fuck purple orc holding two badass whips. Yeah, my name is Pukefucker, and yeah, I just put your dumb little ogre in a cage out in the middle of nowhere, because I'm crazy like that.
I thought you were going to say, yeah, my name is Pukefucker, and yeah, I fuck puke.
I felt that was implied, said the savage as he whipped his whips around for effect. I'm a slave master down at the pain mines. By the way,
oh, yeah.
I got seven damned dicks on me, and I just double DP'd the fuck out of a beholder, which means I killed it with my dicks.
Oh my God, Frightnor is in fucking Derenos right now.
Yeah, man. This is crazy.
Gross, replied Frightnor. Gandy gasped. He done did it to death? Yep, and now I'm gonna triple double DP you punk wizards to death with my seven damn dicks of unholy dick evil injustice.
Oh my God.
Oh my golden rings, this place is foul. Gandy, we gotta get out of here. Gandy! Frightnor looked over to see Gandrixil off watching some conjured skulls sing. Ya da da dee da da.
Oh my God.
Ya da da dee da da. Gandrixil! Shouted the Frightnor. The warlock quickly dismissed the skulls. With a big swing, the wizard was knocked unconscious by a severe backhand by Puke. Ha ha ha. I'm crazy as shit, said Puke.
Oh my God.
The warlock rushed to his friend's side. What kind of a land is this? Asked Gandrixil. This is a motherfucking land of pure debauchery, known only as Derenos.
Yeah!
Shit, I'm sorry I tipped that early.
Dude was right.
Fucking called it,
dude. He listens to the show. And I don't know why I even answered your ass, because now I'm going to kill your ass. Ha ha ha. Gandrixil was filled with rage. He stood up and stared at the orc as his demon eye fixated on him. His other eyes drifted into emptiness. Gandrixil began to spin around and around real fast, like in that Twisted Sister music.
Whoa!
And it's the moment right after the part I talked about.
What?
Dude, and when he stopped, uncanny.
Where once was a chubby little guy, now stood a goddamn Goliath of a Cyclops demon. What the shitty ass shit, said the orc. I am Gorx the Backwooded. I hail from the deepest, most southern part of the underworld.
Oh,
and I've had just about enough of your seven damned dicks. Gorx karate chopped seven dicks off.
Whoa!
Holy shit!
Gah! Yelled Puke Fucker as he dropped his whips. Gorx quickly picked them up. Eat a shitty shit of shitty shit, you shitty shit, said Gorx, and he whipped the whips around the neck of the orc, pulled real hard, and popped the orc's head off.
Oh.
Then he spinning pile-drived his body into the ground. Fuck, this fucking sucks! Exclaimed Puke Fucker's head as it flew into the air and didn't come down.
Oh, oh my god.
The demon summoned a portal back to Gandrixel's hut. My work here is done, said the demon, and he spun around and around until he was a little warlock again. Frightenor came to and examined the orc's body. He removed the cloak, which sparkled as he did so. He put it on. Ah, gross, this is a goddamn cloak of orc tank, shouted the wizard as he threw the cloak on the ground. Come on and free me, I'm a jailed guy, said Old Gort. The end.
Oh, oh dude, God. That was a great fucking story.
That was awesome.
Thanks.
That was, there's, like, really lovable characters in that story. Like, I want stuffed animals of them right now.
Oh, yeah. The ice cream vault?
Yeah, man, that's awesome.
You know, just imagine Old Gort going to the ice cream
vault. What flavor do you want?
What flavor you all want?
Do you want all of them? I do, too.
I want pistachio.
Oh, yeah.
So the Twisted Sister thing happened.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's something else from Josh's story that I...
Yeah, the science fiction thing.
The science fiction thing. Yeah. Yeah.
And you guys both had piss references in your story.
Which is very uncommon in this show.
Very. We tend not to go there.
Yeah, we don't talk about pee-pee.
Josh, if you have somebody in a future story get killed by the falling head of Puke Fucker finally coming back down to earth.
That's a good, that's a good thing to remember.
I will record my head exploding and send it.
That's a good thing to remember. Brilliant.
All right, well, hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to another episode of Fantasy Fiction, and thank you, Tim, for coming on the show and delivering a fucking kick-ass story.
Thank you.
Great job again, man.
It was a dream come true. Now I go back to the rest of my nightmares.
My life is a drug hazy nightmare.
I smoke opium in the car.
See you later,
in the car.
Gotta do another show about dental floss, goddamn. Speaking of that show.
Yeah.
Guys, check out lustyhorror.com. That's what it's not.
It's just lustyhorror.com, and you can find out all our show information and learn about the rest of the cast and see our amazing cosplay pictures.
They're awesome. And it's a kick-ass comedy show. All very funny gentlemen, so you should check it out. And guys, once again, if you're enjoying the show, use the audible.com referral. Check out our web store. Maybe buy something. You'll get a free bonus doodle by yours truly. Which, by the way, I have to say, I've drawn over 250 doodles at
this
point.
That's crazy.
And it's my art has gotten better.
That's awesome.
So thank you guys for ordering, for supporting the show, and thanks for improving my art.
Wow. That's crazy. You make
that's
up
a
fresh character for, like, doodle for each one you send out?
You know, when there's a lot of them, it's usually some iteration of, like, this kind of, like, thing that I've just been doodling.
Yeah.
But then sometimes I experiment and go crazy. And so sometimes you get one that's fun, but, like, sometimes you get a real cool one. So
sometimes it's just a dick and balls with a bow and arrow.
I was going to say.
With a bow and arrow or a beard.
Wait till Dom goes through his dick's period, like Picasso's,
yeah,
like, blue
I got a
period.
Dick's face. I feel a real dick's face coming. But also, thank you guys for already doing that stuff. Any money that goes to the show goes back into the show. We don't really take any of it. It's just all to producing better stuff.
Yeah.
And if you've noticed that our voices have sound better, guys, I was able to buy microphones. So thank you, guys. It was real nice of you to support us. And the web store is fantasyfiction.bigcartel.com.
If you want to support the show in other ways, you could just go on the iTunes and leave a review. That really helps us out a lot. Sometimes we get on the front page and stuff.
Yeah, it really helps out the show. And also, you know what we realized is that we can change regions and see all these other fucking reviews that
yeah.
we had no idea were out there.
I had no idea.
So, like, there's people in Australia and Ireland and UK leaving reviews. It's great.
It's
so,
crazy.
With that, we're going to read a couple reviews from foreign lands.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Different realms.
Did you have one lined up there, Josh?
I'm going to read the top one here from the UK. Can someone lend me 20 gold coins for Wife Bones tickets? It says, the perfect podcast for your inner 12-year-old. That's it.
Your accent was fucking right on.
Hey,
Josh,
thanks.
Josh, are you from the UK? Or do you, like, hide your accent? Because that was really good.
See?
Yep. It's authentic.
Nailed it.
You're like a fantasy being. I've got two reviews I want to read here from Canada.
What's a Canadian accent sound like?
Well, you just, they're just certain.
There it is, there it is.
I'm not going to insert the I'm not going to insult those people. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to read a couple of reviews here. Mm-hmm. This one is titled The Greatest Podcast by Militant Brawler. I think that's a Canadian word. The biggest jizztastic podcast in the world.
Holy shit.
Biggest.
Also, I like this one titled Yes by Sir Cheese Dip. This sexy podcast makes me twist my nipples in excitement. That's an interesting way to deal with your excitement.
By the way, I'm picturing him twisting him real fast.
Man, Sir Cheese Dip, they'll knight anybody in Canada.
He's got good cheese dip.
I like the title and the name of the user of this one. The title is 5 Chains Off the Chain Out of 5. By Pantera Skin Bubble.
That's fucking awesome.
That sounds like a fantasy fiction character, yeah. Pantera Skin Bubble.
Yeah, I think it is. It says, they never fail to make me laugh with their memorable / lovable characters and stories. Be warned, though, you will be grinning and laughing like an idiot if you're listening in public, which is something I love seeing people tweet that at us from time to time, but I also feel really bad.
Dude, I love it.
I hope we're not inducing any anxiety on anybody.
Yeah.
I get real anxious when I listen to the show. Real anxious. That's why I love it.
But thanks again for listening, guys. Thanks, Tim, for coming on the show.
Yes, thank you very much.
There's only one way to get out of here, right? Oh, wait, the props for next week.
Oh, what are we doing? What are we doing?
We have from @Pete_Electro, Magic Chess. And why don't you read the other one there, Tim? It's from that guy there.
Kyle6B. Oh, Kyle B. Bartholomew? Beastmasters.
Yes.
But now that that's out of the way, we want to say goodbye.
How do we end
the
show?
The only way to do that is, well,
keep on wizarding!
Keep on wizarding!
We'll see you next week, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
See ya.